So, welcome back to another episode of Pixel Podcast. I'm here with Tilan again, of course. And yeah, what are we talking about today, Tilan?
Today we're talking about questions that we've gotten ever so often from either potential clients or other agency owners or brands just kind of looking for some advice. And we kind of pulled together a few of them. So one would be the one that we already touched on, which is why performance drops as soon as you start to scale something. One is about budgets, kind of what kind of budgets do you need to start advertising, or like, yeah, especially with new prospects, kind of what kind of budgets do we recommend? One is kind of what other platforms...
Or when they're like entering a new market or something.
Yeah, definitely. One is what other platforms to test or advertise on. One is advice for entering other countries or markets.
Mm-hmm.
We got this a whole lot, especially throughout the last year.
Yeah.
And a lot of questions related to testing, like how do we test our ads? What do we pay special attention to? What's kind of the process like for that? So what do we start with?
With the first one, I'd say.
Okay.
Let's start at the beginning. So the main
let's paint a picture first.
Main topic here was that I'm starting to advertise on Facebook and just seeing normal ROAS. I'm super satisfied. CPMs are looking great.
The first few purchases.
Good everything's CPAs. Looking great. Everything is tested fine, and we're totally prepared to scale. After a few days of testing, and suddenly, one day, boom, everything starts like
underperforming.
Everything stops basically. underperforming. ROAS will drop. CPA. Go up, and CPMs as well, and they want to know what the hell's going on without them having changed anything about advertising, and here I think we need to understand how Facebook
optimizing and targeting works. So obviously, like, the Facebook algorithm is gonna want to serve the your ads to the people it finds are most likely to buy. So
to the most
here we're talking about
audience.
E-commerce stores running purchase objective campaigns. So
that's a given.
Yeah. oftentimes you get that first boost in kind of a few purchases in the first few days. ROAS looks good. But what you're basically getting are, in those first few days, especially if you're targeting smaller audiences, are the people who are most likely to buy in kind of immediately. So the person who's been to your site 10 times already, the person who's bought twice already.
Facebook is very good in optimizing that on its own already,
Yeah. And as soon as you kind of either want to put more budget in or run it for longer, you're having to start to show your ads to people that are less and less relevant to the immediate purchase.
Yeah, it's like you're
purchase.
Spreading your circle, within the Facebook
it's kind
pool
of in,
audience.
In advertising in general, the more people you want to reach, the bigger your budgets, the more you're going to pay for each incremental purchase. Because with every purchase, obviously, you are optimizing. With the smallest amount of budgets, you're optimizing for the people who are most likely to buy. The bigger your budget, the bigger the number of people you're reaching, the more you have to reach people who aren't the optimal demographic interest purchase behavior, whatever.
The bigger
else.
The ocean, the smaller the percentage of good fish.
So there you get some efficiencies with media buying. Obviously with Facebook, kind of you feed it enough data and it will start to recognize the patterns and show the ads to the right people.
The more you feed the pixel,
but kind of to go through that initial bump is usually just the case of Having continuous tests
yeah.
going, having continuous prospecting campaigns going,
yeah.
just so that you're not always like stopping and relaunching, because every
yeah.
time you like basically launch something new, if you don't have anything else live, Facebook's gonna get like the visitors from the past few days.
So
the base outcome
out of this is like don't judge too soon, too fast. Don't get scared, right? I mean, don't pull back too soon.
Yeah, kind of know your numbers.
You know?
Look at
yeah.
all the other kind of metrics that are relevant to the conversions,
yeah.
like cost per add to cart, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's what we usually.
Yeah.
Well, it's the first thing. Like, if there are no purchases, it's what we usually first track. It's like cost per add to cart or cost per unique checkout initiated, if there are.
Yeah,
of course.
other than that,
yeah.
it's basically just running more tests and finding the ones that are performing in a stable manner, even as you start to scale them.
Running more tests in terms of like time-wise or more creatives.
Multiple creatives, multiple iterations, multiple kind of audiences that you can.
Depending on ad budget, right?
It depends a lot on like the number of creatives you actually make. It depends a lot of kind of what countries you are advertising in and kind
mm-hmm.
of what budgets are you running. Obviously, you don't want to be spending majority of your budgets on testing, since testing is usually not as profitable as kind of obviously
yeah,
performance campaigns.
Yeah, you kind of want to be break even at least.
Yeah, but when you're starting out, you don't yet have the like a few performance campaigns that are working well
yeah.
for cold audiences.
Yeah, you're still searching, you know. You're
yeah,
still,
so obviously the beginning, 100% of your budget's going to be spent on testing.
Yeah.
But once you start finding certain things, start finding things that resonate maybe with a wider audience of people that can actually be scaled
mm-hmm.
to kind of bigger numbers, that's when you can do something with that.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. What is
next
it?
Next one was budgets. What kind of budgets
okay, well,
do we need?
Okay, well, speaking of budgets,
do you need to start advertising? Yeah. We don't usually actually recommend any specific budgets.
Yeah.
We usually go a different route.
It really depends,
We usually do it by
an analytical approach almost.
Yeah, we focus more on like CPA or ROAS targets
yeah.
and basically how much that customer, that client wants to spend
yeah.
to acquire new customers
this
at
really
that ROAS.
This really needs to be put clear also from the part of the client, and they should know their numbers. Like, it usually would present a problem when they don't know their exact numbers, right?
Yeah, if you want to advertise and scale,
yeah.
you need to know all your costs, all your numbers. What's your cost of goods? What's your cost of shipping? How
yeah.
many percentage do you have, like, returns and refunds? What's the, like, I don't know, fulfillment and packaging material cost and everything like that? So that you have clear numbers on...
Yeah.
What's the max CPA you can
afford,
pay?
Yeah.
What's the break-even point for each of your products? What's your average order value? What's
yeah.
your repeat purchase
so
rate?
So we know exactly what to target
yeah.
and then go from there. So we go back from there.
We usually start with a target CPA or a target ROAS
yeah.
kind of from the profitability that they want to hit. And then we go to other metrics. So if like... I don't know, the max CPA that they can afford is 30
yeah.
euros and they have a 50% conversion rate on their cart. That means the max cost we can pay for a unique add to cart is 15 euros. Then
yeah.
if that is 10% of product page views, max
yeah.
for product
page
view. And that's
actually an ideal picture for
1.5.
us. If we know these numbers... We're not lost, you know, when
yeah.
we know exactly what we need to hit and we just go for it.
It's much easier to scale. Like, obviously, things break, especially
yeah.
with Facebook ads.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
one of
oh.
the few kind of platforms that can really double your business in a matter of few weeks, so obviously things will break. Customer support will be will have like backlogs. They won't be able to fulfill the orders on time. They'll have issues
problems
with suppliers,
with, stock,
with,
yeah, supplier.
With products out of stock. They'll see that they forgot some costs in the cost calculation.
Yeah. But
and
this is all part of the testing, right? I mean, at the beginning especially.
Yeah, obviously. Well, it's usually you're more constrained with how fast can you scale on the company personnel kind of fulfillment product
side
than on Facebook advertising side.
Yeah, which is, for us, it's good, you know. It's a good problem to have.
For us, it's good, but a lot of things break once you start really aggressively
scaling. I
mean,
no one is ever, I don't think, fully prepared for it, because I don't know whether no one really... understand
you can't
or
be,
believe
you can't be prepared,
you know,
for
it,
because you're basically reacting to what you're
to the market, you know, to,
and to the speed of growth kind of, because you can't say, okay, we're gonna grow 50% in the next 2 months. You don't know, like, maybe it's gonna go 3 months without any good creatives that you can scale
and
an offer
like
that you can
200%. You know,
yeah, and then maybe Black Friday happens and you do
like
double
happened,
your revenue.
It's crazy,
So usually at that point you basically start scrambling and adjusting and kind of putting new people in place to grow even further.
Yeah, so
back to budgets.
Main outcome here is like know your numbers. The more exact you know your numbers, the better it is for us and for you, of course, as a brand. And we can work finally together.
As an actual answer, just so that we don't end up on it depends.
On an open note.
Kind of having a clear picture on how much you're willing to spend on testing new stuff. Like, let's say,
and how fast, you know?
Let's say, okay, we're prepared to put 100 euros per day into new testing. And then if the ROAS is, I don't know, our break-even ROAS is 1.8. If we're at 2.2, we can scale to like 300 euros a day. If we hit 2.7, we can go 500 euros a day. If we're above 2.7, just basically scale however
you
can.
I mean, a brand or like... you know, company should also decide, you know, I mean, decide and check their capacities at the moment and how much they're willing, but also able to scale as like to grow their capacities, because like, no, not
obviously this
has
is
the option even, or
obviously
maybe
this
wish.
Is a strain on kind of cash flow for any company, especially growing that fast, because you gotta hire more people, you gotta invest in kind
and
of
then,
bigger stock that you have to prepay.
And then for a while you're like less profitable, and you know they should just decide what they would like to do with the brand and where they'd like to lead it.
Definitely don't go as aggressive where you're like shaking if you
if
have like two
budgets,
bad days
in
Facebook ads, and
we definitely always suggest against it. So rather go a little bit steady, a little bit
go
more
slower
steady,
and sleep well and go and grow from there once like you get some a solid foundation.
Be safe. Be bold, but be safe.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else? What else do we have?
What other platforms to test or advertise on?
Oh, this is a good one. They ask this a lot.
None. For growing up to, let's say, 7 figures a month, Facebook,
it would
Google,
be a shame.
And email are enough.
It would be a shame to try to tackle anything else, because
I mean,
these are such low-lying fruits for everyone. You know, it's just, I don't think it's worth even, you know, all like the budgets or even hard work, you know.
I'm kind of a fan of focusing down and nailing a few platforms rather than going, oh yeah, let's do native ads as well, and let's do Pinterest ad, and let's do TikTok and Snapchat.
Don't
and,
do multitasking in advertising. Just focus on, you know, what's important, what's like...
For majority of brands, Facebook ads will be the most cost-effective and scalable platform to grow their brand up to like half a million or a million a month.
There will always be, success stories. Oh, I've done so well on like Pinterest or TikTok, but those aren't like real success stories, I
And
think.
usually,
And maybe it's like one
like,
off,
as far as we've
one
tested
case.
and as far as we've gotten feedback from other agencies and brand owners, you get really good ROAS numbers, both, for example, Pinterest and
Also,
TikTok.
Snapchat, yeah, is mentioned sometimes.
Both platforms have a lot of issues with actually attributing, because both of them love to attribute
You're
basically
not
any
sure
conversions that touch them
to what
to
extent they're
themselves.
overperforming, right?
Yeah, you have like very high ROAS on TikTok, but on the back end, when you check analytics and WooCommerce or Shopify, like those, or you don't have the actual orders. You're basically getting orders attributed to TikTok
When
that
you
were like
compare
came from
analytics
Google Ads.
and what the platform says, it just does not align. Not
And
even
also,
close, you know?
like, if you're not a huge company yet, it's, I think, way more valuable to focus on a few platforms and do them really well, other than and not like
Other than
go
spreading
into
around.
like super expensive attribution tools.
Because those are vanities. Those are cherries on top, maybe once you're already don't know
They take a lot of,
how to
yeah, they
scale
take a lot
ML
of
anymore.
very good data analyst people and very expensive platforms to kind of track, okay, where did all these conversions come from? Who do we attribute it to? What's the
Or even,
actual ROAS of an
customized tools
individual?
within a company that tracks this,
Yeah. So for new platforms, I'd suggest really focusing on Facebook, Google, and inside of Google specifically, if you can, like shopping and YouTube over-index. Search is fine. Definitely speed up
Dynamic
your
search display is fine as
branded
well
campaigns
in
from
some
regular
cases,
ones, and email marketing.
Oh,
If you're not doing like 25, 30% of your revenue from email marketing, you definitely need to step up your game.
yeah, you are. It's a shame because you are losing a big chunk
Yeah,
of,
yeah. And email marketing is kind of the easiest one of the bunch, because you basically pay a fixed fee for a number of subscribers. You're not paying for each.
You're not paying per click, like this,
Yeah, yeah. You're not
like.
paying for each conversion. Plus, it's kind of one of the main drivers of repeat purchases and kind of upsells, stuff like that. So it's super
Oh, we've
valuable on the
been
back end.
tackling email marketing so
Oh,
hard
yeah.
this year, so hard. I've been diving
Yeah.
nice and deep together with my team. Okay, I think we're at the last one already.
We have two more advice on entering other countries and markets, and how do we test ads, anything we pay special attention to. We're 18 minutes in. We can maybe tackle the countries and markets, and we can leave the testing.
Yeah, because testing is definitely a
It's a
more
topic in and of
like
itself, and I think we
strategic
can
and
dive a bit deeper on that one
definitely a broader like and
topic.
something we're really, really passionate about. It's kind of our like not really
Okay.
secret sauce, but like very interesting way
Yeah.
of how we do it, I think. Okay, markets.
Markets, how to enter other markets. First
So
advice,
basically, that's localization,
yeah,
right?
first advice, enter other markets as soon as you can, especially if you're just advertising in, for example, Slovenia or any other smaller European countries. It's such a limited market. There's so much potential in other countries, and it's not either more expensive or
You're
more
so
difficult.
fast at the point where you cannot scale beyond it here,
Yeah.
within just one European market, and it's a shame. But I still think that you should maybe start with one to three first, and really kick it off really good
Yeah.
before. Like, it's not a given that the same ad creatives will be winning, further
Definitely not.
on.
Yeah.
Like, it usually happened against it with us. But still, I think you should have like a safety net, before, just
Have a profitable market
attacking all
before
the
tackling
markets.
six different markets. Yeah.
Okay, what else do you have to
Okay,
say on
first of all,
this?
obviously the obvious things. Sort out your logistics, sort out your payment, any like bank accounts, tax IDs, whatever you have to do to actually kick off a new market.
And if there are like some limitations, special laws, or, you know, I don't know, badges you will need in your shop, or
what are the kind of the preferred payment methods in a certain country
that would, you know, help with like loyalty and with trust building.
Germany.
Maybe, you know? Yeah, we've had that happen.
Okay, so yeah, those are kind of the basics.
And like modes of payment, the second thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second thing would be getting your shipping there really fast. Try to find any like local partners or any like
specific
either fulfillment centers, something like that, so that you're not sending, ideally not sending from another country where it would take like a week to get there, especially if you're
Amazon
getting
Prime,
from
people, you
cash
just
on delivery,
want, you know, the product here and now. And
then after that, for advertising, kick off a single product, market. Test creatives like you would from the beginning. You won't get the same creatives working usually as in different markets. So don't just take the winners from any other market and expect that they're gonna perform the same on different market. We'd highly suggest localization. We were kind of against it at first, or basically we did a number of tests where we were basically reasoning, okay, maybe if we start with English and we start with the entire European economic area, we could move
going
much
global,
faster with kind of without having to localize for each individual market. But we've just found that both CPA costs, engagements, everything, conversion rates were so much better if we actually localized the content. Like as much as we think, okay, yeah, we're young, we all speak English, kind of probably all other countries do as well.
Yeah.
It's still something about having
it
in a native
even
language.
A matter of, you know, speaking English. I think that, okay, you should go globally, but we didn't. With local steps, if that makes sense.
Expand as fast as you can, but on individual markets.
Because like it resonates more, you know, with
and it's easier to get trust.
The language with the currency, with means of payment, you know, even that are like more common in a certain country, in certain markets. There's so many things, even how maybe the shop itself is structured, you know,
And or what kind of the checkout steps, checkout fields, stuff like that.
The
so
content,
if you can really adjust it to a specific country.
I think that's super like interesting.
Other than that, it's kind of the same as going into a single market. Redo the testing, find what creatives work and scale them there. And it's in a lot of cases, in a lot of cases, it's much easier to grow in certain bigger markets. Mm-hmm. Okay, obviously, like, for example, I don't know, Slovenia in Germany. Obviously, Germany is like 5 times more expensive to advertise than Slovenia, but the like purchasing power of like the entire country is much bigger. So when you're actually comparing how much you're paying per purchase or something like that, it's not that big of a difference from,
I mean, obviously CPMs are going to be higher.
Yeah.
But, you know, ROAS can stay like just as good or even better, you know.
Plus you can do a lot of things on the media buying side, like going for very specific audiences or lookalikes or something like that. In Slovenia, you can't really. If you make like a 10% lookalike in Slovenia, it's
a lot more.
Yeah, it's like 100,000 people or a bit more. And in Germany, it's millions.
And what we found out that we can test more and we can learn so much more, right? I mean, we're constantly learning with new markets as well. And I think that's crucial.
The whole pace of growth and scaling is much faster in other markets, because if you find, for example, a creative and a specific audience that works really well, it's much easier to scale it because there's basically many more people there and kind of many more people in the right kind of demographic interest.
Yeah, when you see it like that, it really makes sense, right?
So yeah, don't get stuck on just individual local markets. Go international as soon as possible.
Yeah. as soon as possible in the way that...
Usually things like logistics and language barrier for customer support and stuff like that is more problematic than actually getting your ads to work
things
in a different country.
Front, true. That's why people are usually a bit avoidant
it takes forever for certain countries, like if you have to open a bank account somewhere or something like that, it's just months of process.
It's bureaucracy,
issue. But talk to other store owners, talk to other agencies, hit us up if you want some insight, because there are you get put in touch with people that can kind of speed up the process
or just simplify it.
Yeah, or who are already doing it for a few other e-commerce brands or stuff like that.
You can also see it's not as frightening, maybe.
Yeah. So that's kind of it for
so we're
other
about
markets.
To wrap it up for this episode of Pixel Podcast, and definitely see you around very soon with more topics on how we test, right? And maybe anything else that we already know.
Let us know kind of if you have any questions as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Comment, email us, whatever. We'd love to
we'd love to
dig through more
links.
Questions, help out if we can.
Yeah, so see you
That's
around.
That's it for today.
And have fun.
Bye.